Welcome in to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. We're broadcasting live today from the historic Studio A, the longest continual broadcast studio in the world, broadcasting here since 1927. It is a glorious day here in St. Louis, Missouri, USA. We welcome all of you in throughout the world. Heard this morning that we're being listened to now in over 12 countries, including Ghana, Japan, Brazil, Finland, Sweden, United Kingdom, all over the world they listen to us, and we're up to like 40 U.S. states, so welcome in all of you. We want to encourage you that we have a new thing here. We're giving away a Wi-Fi radio every month to someone out there in the world. So you don't have to be here in St. Louis or Missouri, even United States. Anywhere in the world that you have Wi-Fi access or can get it, you can plug in this radio and you just then use it like a normal radio. Turn it on, preset station, so you can listen to KFUO 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We broadcast continually this messenger of good news. And to enter that contest in May, we're asking you to tell us why your mom, in honor of Mother's Day we just had yesterday, why your mom should deserve this Wi-Fi radio. You go on our Facebook page, you submit that, then you have your friends vote for it. All that instructions and more is on our website, kfuo.org, or our Facebook page. So enter, have your friends go on there and vote for yours, and maybe your mom will win this Wi-Fi radio. Faith and Family is a show where we try to talk about what I would say are two of the most fundamental building blocks of good culture, good society: faith and family. And as we all know here in the United States, family is under attack. It's changing. It's causing us all kinds of repercussions. And so we aim through Jesus Christ to give some aid, some help to families out there listening around the globe. And every week we do a different topic. Today's topic is aging. We know that our society is aging more and more, the baby boom, as we move through a larger and larger chunk of us, and I fit into that group, are looking at this topic very seriously. And you can join in this discussion with your questions for our experts or your comments. Phone it in the St. Louis area, 314-505-7850. Worldwide, 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us. Get ready. It's really hard. family@kfuo.org. We'd love to hear from you. And listen to this. We'll vote towards the end. I'll have my guests and myself vote. And the winner will receive a free copy of Rich Bimler's fine book, Joyfully Aging, A Christian's Guide. Now, these were supplied to us this week by our good friends. They're an underwriter and a blessed one, Lutheran Senior Services. We have two of their executives with us today to talk about our topic, which today is this, the maze of aging. If you've ever been through this, it's scary when you first start out. But our experts are going to help take the fear out of that, lessen all the trepidation that you get into about this aging issue. Let me go around the table and introduce them, if I may. First, we have Leanne Coates, the Director of Marketing for In-Home Services.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having us.
It's good to have you. And you know, I like your title because a lot of times when we're looking at options, alternatives for aging people, we don't necessarily have to institutionalize them, put them in a home or whatever you want to call it. There is some help out there, good help, in home services, isn't there, Leanne?
There absolutely is. These days, certainly people recognize that given the choice, many people would prefer to stay in their own homes. And honestly, there are a ton of different options and resources that can serve people. Everything from the need from safety to personal care to skilled medical care, all the way to end-of-life care in the home. So it's all about finding out what's the option that's best for the individual.
Great. So good to have you with us today, Leanne. And next to her is both of these titles kind of sit well with me because I was a marketing executive in the computer world before the Lord called me into the ministry. So I love that word, marketing. We have the Administrator of Marketing and Sales for Lutheran Senior Services, Rita Vickery. Rita, welcome to Faith and Family.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Rod. Happy to be here.
You know, and I would say, could we say Happy Mother's Day, the day after, to all three of you?
Thank you.
Yeah, a great day to celebrate a wonderful gift of God. And so great to have you with us as well, Rita. And then we have Althea West. She has an amazing resume. Currently Director of Care Services for Home Care Assistance of St. Louis, a non-medical home care provider. She's a member of the National Association of Geriatric Care Managers. She's also the founder of a nonprofit. Now, I've did that a couple times myself. That's a lot of work, Althea. So I'm really impressed and blessed. It's called ITN St. Charles, that provides dignified transportation to older adults, and she continues to serve on their board of directors. Is that right?
That's right, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, and so if you'd like to, we're gonna we always like to link up where our listeners don't have to try to remember stuff that we're gonna give or write it down, but put links on our website, because we're gonna have an archived version of this show, so we can put Lutheran Senior Services on there, all that stuff, and we can also link up to yours. I noticed too that you adjunct professor for University of Missouri St. Louis and Webster University, where you graduated a couple degrees from.
That's right.
Teach graduate level there in gerontology and social work?
Correct, yes.
Wow. Just wonderful work that all three of you do. And let's start out talking about this maze of aging by asking the question, how do people know, how can they know when it's time to seek help like yours or some other organization? When should an aging person or their loved ones or friends suggest that maybe we call in some, expert help to help them start to sort through the options? Anybody want to start?
Yeah, I'll be glad to start with that, Rod. One of the things, it's challenging because each person is so individualized, and what might be a challenge for one person to continue to perform in their daily life, might not be so difficult for another. But some of the things to watch for older adults in their home, when the adult child goes to visit, to take a look in and see what's changing. Perhaps they come in and, maybe they've noticed that there are piles of mail that aren't being opened, that, maybe mom or dad or the aunt is not opening them and looking at them. And one of the challenges that can present, because if there are bills and such that are being unpaid, then it could be a challenge for somebody to continue to live independently, because if their services are being turned off. Looking at physical appearance, is a person who was normally always that natty dresser and always looking really great, comes to the door unkept, or perhaps looks like they're losing weight. So keeping an eye on physical appearance. Looking at the environment. Many people are very meticulous about how they like their home kept. Are things cluttered, things not being thrown away?
So you're talking, too, about sensing changes in their normal predicted behavior that they've had forever and ever, like they were a meticulous dresser and their personal hygiene was kept up and that's kind of waning, or, they're not doing the normal things that they, especially you see it a couple times where piles of mail, maybe once is nothing, but a couple see it continually, that should be a clue.
Yeah, let me tell you about what happened with my mother. She was very good at compensating, and she would find ways to get around her inadequacies. But the thing that caused her to raise her hand and say, I need help, was that she called me one Monday morning and said, oh, honey, I don't think I should be driving anymore. And I investigated, and it turned out she had lost her way home from church the night before. So losing your way or that forgetfulness is also a big deal.
Yeah.
Even when people have small changes, a lot of times older folks fake it.
Right.
And so getting a little bit more detailed and having those conversations ahead of time would be extremely helpful.
And certainly looking at being proactive, noticing those little problems before they turn into big molehills. Physical health is really one of the biggest things that people can be proactive about. So if you notice that there is that change, you know, doing something as simple as making that visit to the doctor so you can put a stop to, you know, is there any type of medical issue that can be addressed?
I would take that another step further and just saying that seniors themselves should really start to consider what they need to be doing before it's time. Really plan a move, perhaps, before physical or cognitive issues are starting to affect them so that they can make the decisions for themselves and they're not leaving that up to their children or other loved ones to do that for them.
That's really a good point, Rita. You know, we were talking about that, the four of us, before we came on, that to become more proactive rather than reactive when maybe it's too late and the emotions are strong. And what kind of age do you think people ought to be kind of doing some planning and talking with their loved ones to maybe find out their desires and their wants when they still have time to be rational and kind of good thinking about that? What kind of age do you suggest maybe they start talking about this?
What kind of age? I thought you said AIDS.
No.
My hearing aid up.
Yeah.
About 3 months before you need it.
Okay. In the 50s, maybe, yeah. Would you say?
Well, I think, you know, 50s is when you really should start looking at things like long-term care insurance if you haven't gotten that before that, really starting to think about what your needs might be in the future as you do your retirement planning. And also, if you're in your 50s or 60s, you may have older parents, so that if you are starting to look at what your options are for retirement, you can model for them if perhaps it hasn't occurred to them or perhaps they're resistant to thinking about it.
Well, that's a great idea that you might break the tension there by saying, you know, I'm starting to look into my own, situation, and then that might help them to loosen up and start looking. So
that's a good strategy, but also taking a look at, you know, when something happens to one of their friends or neighbors or maybe another member of the family. You know, Aunt Sally ended up being in the hospital last week, and I know that, you know, Martha and Jim have really been struggling with, you know, how to assist her. You know, if we found ourselves in a situation like that, Mom, what would you like? You know, what would you like to consider as far as, would you prefer to have somebody come and help you in your home? Would you like to go somewhere until you got a little stronger? Or would, at that point, would we like to think about moving? So opening up the conversation in a non-threatening situation where it doesn't directly apply sometimes is very beneficial.
Yeah.
And sometimes even when there's a small disability like knee surgery or my brother just had four-way bypass surgery. Guess what? That two-story house is no longer an option for them.
Yeah.
And they're starting to think, oh my gosh, you know, we should probably take a look at living on one level and making those plans ahead of time.
Right. You know, I was going to mention too that in the parish, I you know, had the pleasure of helping a lot of people and families kind of approach these issues. And you all know how sensitive that can be. And you probably know of this more than I, but I was so impressed and blessed when there was this expert in the area who would come into the home or the living space and do an assessment. Right. And we found out so much, right? Like rugs that could be slip out from under them and, you know, hey, it's a three-story house. How much of it are you going up and down? And to our shock, we even found that she left the iron downstairs on high and what that could result in. And this lady was the beginning of Alzheimer's dementia, you know, so we found out a whole lot. And that assessment, and I know there's a lot of available resources out there, is there not, to help people and their families kind of start to look at this? And I remember then this lady was just such an angel, because she quickly developed this neat rapport with our friend. And she would say things like, you know, how about you and I take a day where we do some lunch, and then we'll look at some facilities? Not for now. We can do some stuff in-home. But down the road, that we'll have everything lined up. Not where we would like you to be, but where you... And she was so go for that. Then she would take tours, you know, of the various facilities, and it wasn't like you're going to have to go as quick as possible. It was like planning ahead. Is that kind of thing still available? Is there specialists and people Let's start with you, Althea, and then we'll talk to the LSS ladies here.
Well, you have just described what a geriatric care manager does. So to easily define that, it's kind of like renting a daughter that knows what she's doing. So a geriatric care manager can define and assess. We organize and try to help people figure out what it is that they want and what objectives and goals they need. We organize so that you take an organized approach and step-by-step to accomplish those goals. And then we also help people mobilize, because no matter how much we do the talking and we do discuss and we try to help, it's about finally making a decision to change. And so a care manager can be a social worker, they can be a gerontologist, they can be a nurse, they can be a physical therapist. There's a lot of care managers out there that have specific specialties
sure.
that are available, and it's well worth getting that third-party resource to come in and give you some unbiased advice.
Sounds like
advice.
In most cases, too, it's a team approach where they have specialists and resources they can turn to if need
be. Yeah, nobody can know everything.
Yeah. How about Lutheran Senior Services and an assessment of individuals and that? How do you approach that?
It's very similar to what Althea just described. We have a department called our Outreach Social Services, where we have geriatric care managers as well who are elder care specialists that go in and do the in-home assessment, you know, looking at all aspects of a person's environment, what their physical situation is, what their financial situation is. So the idea is to get that 360 picture of what can help be a person to help them be as successful in the home as possible. I think one of the other things that it's very important for families to consider is bringing that expert resource in really saves a lot of time and stress in relation to families. Althea and I talked about this a little bit on Friday when we were talking about this conversation, but you know, for family members, we all tend to think that we should be the ones who are taking care of our elder family member, making the planning, doing the caregiving, when reality is, you know, if there was something wrong, and maybe this isn't the best analogy, but if our washing machine started making funny noises, we wouldn't think twice about calling that person in to give us an idea of
what was wrong,
yeah. how we were going to fix it.
Right, except for my father. He would have torn apart, and then my mom would have been screaming at him. Yeah.
But the piece of that would be, you know, if we do that, often then it ends up costing more time, taking a longer time to get the resources in the person needs. And in that amount of time, a situation can grow worse. Mm-hmm. So that's why experts in aging are always, it's important to consult with individuals, whether it's just calling someone to ask questions or actually having that physical assessment in the home. The other point of that is by having that person, you mentioned the rapport that the care manager had with the person you had referred, it allowed her to retain some control and helping to direct her own care, because you know what? Nobody likes being told what to do.
Oh, no. And you know, Reed, I was thinking there as we were, you know, talking about this topic, that, you know, when you get a person like that involved, I remember the burden on me is just the only friend that she really had that could start to help her out, my wife and I. And, you know, we felt so sorry for this person, and we were so overwhelmed because we just didn't know which path to take. And this person came in and said, "I'll help you," you know, and kind of took over the steering wheel. We kind of got in the shotgun position or in the back seat and said, "Well, what are options?" And it was so beautiful and so stress relieving for us. Is that kind of typical with this approach?
Absolutely. When you think about it, you've got somebody who is an expert who would be able to offer choices, but also to simplify things, because it is very difficult if you have too many choices to try to pare down and figure out what you should do. So if you have someone who does this regularly and is an expert at it, they would be able to really listen to you and get to know who you are as a person and what would be best for you and help simplify those choices for you. And also, you know, seniors want to be in charge, as we have said. They want to leave a legacy. They want people to hear their stories, and they want to be driving it themselves. So someone mm-hmm. who is an expert in that would really help with that process, where sometimes family members are just too close and they're trying to drive what mom needs to do. And that's where a lot of resistance comes in, because you're telling me what to do. You're not asking me what I want to do.
Yeah, that's a great point, that with the history that a lot of us have, they might think, well, you have some motives that might be not be in my best interest, where this total stranger comes in, earns their trust pretty quick, and then just makes suggestions subtly, and I like what you said, makes it appear like that this person still has a lot of control. And you know, the case I was telling you about, it was so wonderful, because I did what you said. I'd been through this enough to, first thing I wanted to do was take her to her family physician and get a complete medical check, make sure there's no like urinary tract infection or something that could be causing her poor thinking, poor decision making, and all of that. And you know, then we got the brain scan, and then we went to the neurologist. And you know, when this geriatric care manager, I like that term, when she came in, you know, she was presenting us with, because we're all thinking, well, we've got to get her out of this home and get her into, you know, some kind of facility. And the care manager said, no, I think if the church can help with this, we can keep her in this house as long as we can. And you know what? When we met with the neurologist and told him our plan, he was so impressed and said, as long as we can. And he went right to my member, Lily. He said, Lily, we're going to keep you in your house as long as we can. Her eyes just went crazy. Because I can imagine now the fear of, you know, being in a home like she was for 40 years and not have to give it up.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
And so this, if you do it early enough, this is the kind of blessings that are possible, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe not in all cases, but I'm sure you've had some of those stories.
Absolutely. I think what you nail the point is, it's when we fail to plan. None of us ever plan to fail.
Yeah,
and
right.
So when you have that plan in place, you can have the alternative as a backup. So let's start here at ground level, staying in the home. And then if we see that it's not going to be successful, then we can start and reach out to other avenues. Because then we can say to the individual, you know, you've done a great job being here, but right now we have to consider your safety. We have to consider your physical ability. And it doesn't seem to be working out. And sometimes people come to that own their own realization,
yeah,
that it's not working.
Which is the best, isn't it? And a good counselor even does that, doesn't say this is the way you need, it leads you to say that's the choice, the path I need to go on.
To your own self-determination.
Yeah. So again, it's not saying this is what you're going to do. This is, they get to choose that and think it's like their decision.
And we have to sometimes allow people to fail.
Correct.
Yeah.
Rather,
yeah,
than enable everything.
Yeah. The good Lord just seems to do that with all of us. Well, this is a wonderful discussion, and you can join in by calling us in the St. Louis area, 314-505-7850, worldwide, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us at family@kfuo.org. To the one who gives us the best question, the best comment, and don't do typically what they do, wait until the last 10 minutes and then flood us with calls and emails. Do it in early. Get yours in early. Get in the running, and you'll win a copy of Joyfully Aging, A Christian's Guide, written by Richard Bimler. I had Rich on my book talk program and interviewed him on this book, and it is a wonderful book. It's celebrating aging. You know, I was going to tell you that at my age, my wife and I have really started planning probably about 10 years ago, and we're looking at buying property, hopefully down in the Villages in Florida. Uh-huh. And so we've started, and you know, we went through Dave Ramsey, and then we did the long-term care policy, which we're really proud of ourselves about. So we're getting everything lined up. And you know, down there they say to buy the property, the minimum is, I love this, 55 years or better. Not older, 55 years or better. And I love that. And Rich books kind of plays on that, Joyful Aging. And we've got three experts. So call in, email us, and let's talk more about this maze of aging here on Faith and Family. Come back and be with us.
Can Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Many of you have heard about the trial of Kermit Gosnell and his squalid late-term abortion mill. But Gosnell isn't an exception. He's the face of abortion. Here's one of many examples. The Planned Parenthood in Wilmington, Delaware, fired its abortionist, not because of concern for women's health. Two nurses quit and went public after they couldn't get Planned Parenthood to correct the problems. The abortionist wouldn't wear gloves. Equipment and surgical furnishings wouldn't be cleaned between patients. And the list goes on. One of the nurses who calls herself radically pro-abortion said, "I couldn't tell you how ridiculously unsafe it was. Since the beginning of the year, five women have been rushed to the hospital in ambulances. So you see, legal abortion isn't safe."
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, extending a warm invitation for you to join me for Moments of Assurance each weekday from noon to 1 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO. Each day I'll share scriptural encouragement along with practical thoughts, humor, trivia, news items, wonderful Christ-centered songs and hymns. It's a great spiritual recipe for your noontime hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance, underwritten in part by Mid-American Coaches and Children's Christian Concern Society, an LCMS-recognized service organization.
Hello, I'm Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast for KFUO. We totally depend on the gracious supporters who want this gospel voice to continue and expand as the messenger of good news of Christ. A wonderful part of this support is our underwriters, an ever-increasing number, and so we ask you to find out who they are by checking them out on our website or as you hear them here on KFUO. Write, call, or tell them how much you appreciate their support of Worldwide KFUO.
Our mission at KFUO is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations. Today's internet capabilities give us the opportunity to do that. Listeners from all over the world can follow the ministry of KFUO via our website, Facebook, Wi-Fi radios, and smartphone apps. You can listen to KFUO Radio 24 hours a day, anywhere, with our on-demand programs and live audio streams. Worldwide KFUO at KFUO.org.
A mental health counselor whose actions led to Boston Marathon bombing suspect Tamerlan Tsarnaev being buried in Virginia says she has no regrets despite disapproval of local officials and some cemetery neighbors. Martha Mullen, a graduate of United Theological Seminary in Ohio, told Richmond Station WWBT,
"I'm a Christian and Jesus says, love your enemies."
Mullen helped arrange Thursday's burial at an Islamic cemetery north of Richmond after hearing about the difficulty in finding a burial spot for Tsarnaev.
"We've buried other bad people, so the difference was the fact that he was a Muslim."
Mullen, who attends United Methodist Church, told WWBT,
"It's not up to me to judge. Or any of us to judge. You know, what this person did, Tamerlan Tsarnaev did, is between him and God. You know, and God is the person who judges the soul. But the body belongs to us to bury."
I'm Steve Coleman.
Crisis arisen, the devil's the thing.
Thanks for hanging in there with us on Faith and Family. You know, I didn't say from the outset, I'm your temporary host, Rod Zwanitzer, with you today on Faith and Family, and I've got three wonderful new friends, experts in the topic of aging. And so call us with your comment, your question on aging. We know there's lots of you out there that have these, and I'll tell you what, if you're holding back hoping that somebody else is going to do it, Probably not. So everybody else probably is, when you say your question, they're going to go, I need to hear the answer to that one. So please call us, 314-505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727 or email us at family@kfuo.org. To the best comment or question, a copy of Rich Bimler's wonderful book, Joyfully Aging. Now, we were talking here during the break that, you know, getting resourced as you approach this aging thing where you're planning early or you're into it and need some immediate help, there's so many good resources out there today. Let's start with Rita. She's got a couple of really good things she wants to share with us, and then we'll go around the table because there's some really good stuff here. We're going to put links to this on our website and our archive of this show, so you don't need to worry about writing it down. Unless you want to, feel free to do that. But our links will be right there on our archive page. Rita, you had a couple of great ideas for us.
Well, we were talking about having the conversation with our seniors or older loved ones. And a great book to refer to is called How to Say It to Seniors, written by David Solie, S-O-L-I-E. I've had the opportunity to meet the author and discuss with him just a few months ago, and I've read his book, and it's a great help in helping people understand how to approach the conversation of perhaps it's time to move or you need some help in home. And it came out of his own experience with his mother, where he as a health care provider thought he had all the answers and was going in and telling his mom what she needed to do, and she was very defensive and offended by that, and it caused a rift in their relationship until he realized that he needed to think about it and go back from a different angle, the book is phenomenal. And I also wanted to just talk about, you know, as we talk about all the different resources, and talk a little bit about continuing care retirement communities. These are communities that have all levels of care in one community. So someone can move into independent living, into an apartment home or a patio home, and then all of the levels of care are there if their needs change over time. Assisted living, memory care assisted living, long-term care, and even short stay rehab. So if someone needs just to be in for a little while after a hip replacement, perhaps, or an illness that has set them back. And also you can come in at any level of there. You don't have to start in independent living, but it is a wonderful way to have all of those resources in one place as a resident.
Very good. And, you know, I've had some experience in that with my father-in-law after we lost his wife. And, you know, the move into him was really a good transition because he was in independent living, but he saw the community, and he developed such a rapport, such a trust, as we had to move him into the more care section. He was all ready to go. He trusted them. So great idea. Leanne, you had a resource for us, I believe, that you wanted to share.
I do. When it comes to in-home services and all the different types of services and assistance out there, it's sometimes hard to know exactly what's right for a particular situation. When people say home care, they put everything under one umbrella. But that could range anything from, you know, where you get resources and information to things to assist, such as safety, so a personal emergency response system, in-home services as opposed to for skilled medical care. And so there is an online tool. It's called seniorresourceguide.com, and it actually gives a definition of all those different types of things. So what is a companion? What is skilled home care services? What is provided in a personal emergency response? And the other piece of that is it helps individuals look at questions, because when you start to do your research, you will find that there is an unbelievable amount of agencies. So, for example, in the St. Louis area alone, there are over 200 providers of individuals who do the personal in-home care that's basically for the activities of daily living, so personal care and assistance. So how do you choose? You know, what is important to you? But there is a series of questions. So, for example, finding out, making sure that agency, you know, how do they hire their caregivers? What type of experience do they have? Is there someone available 24/7 to respond to, you know, caregivers are just like us. What happens if they have car trouble or their children become ill? What's the policy for replacement? Are people bonded and insured? That's important. You know, you would never want to think that a person would come into an individual's home and, you know, that anything would happen. But you want to make sure that the agency that you're working with is reputable, faith-based. You know, there are for-profit agencies and there are nonprofit faith-based agencies. What is important to you is who is in your home providing the care.
Yeah, you know, and Leanne, while you were saying that, I know, too, that isn't there some government agencies where you can check out if there's any complaints, any action taken against a facility, which is nice to check out. I know we did that with my wife's in-laws, is saw the record, so to speak, and if they had anything, you know, against people, because sometimes we need to find that out, don't we, if we're putting our loved ones into trusted hands.
Absolutely. You want to know who is, you know, that you do have someone trusted coming in. The Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services have become much more proactive. So you could actually visit CMS if you want to look at a community. So as far as what, and it's called Nursing Home Compare. For skilled agencies, there's a tool out there called Home Health Compare that you can take a look at, and they have a set series of questions, and, you know, that type of information is available for consumers.
Sure.
You know, for private services, and each place is a little different in how they are structured. For example, in Missouri, private agencies aren't required to be licensed by the state, so it's very important that you're asking those questions, although agencies should be screening and bonding their caregivers, you know, making sure that they have police background checks. Has the individual been screened through the Family Care Safety Registry to make sure that they have not been disqualified for working with older adults or children from any way? So, you know, there are all those things out there, but for someone who's uninitiated into helping provide caregiving services, they wouldn't know that.
Sure.
That's why the expert working with someone is so important.
Yeah, that's nice that you highlighted that. Althea, you had something, too, that is really important to share.
Well, absolutely. You know, there's three levels of knowledge. You know what you know, and you know what you don't know, so you go to an attorney or you go to the brain surgeon. But sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And having what I call a power team together is a way for you to get those questions and know which questions to ask and then also get them answered reliably. So, you know, whether you work with your pastor or your attorney or some trusted advisor or care manager, we can get together those experts that are bound by ethical codes, that are licensed, that are experts and have made a commitment to their profession to do the right thing. And if you've got a team working with you, chances are you're not going to fall through the cracks because you don't know what questions to ask.
Yeah. So maybe as a basic start, what kind of team members would you try to line up?
Well, of course, we go to our pastor first. You know, if you've got a great relationship with your doctor, that might be a place to start, but sometimes they don't have the time.
Sure.
An attorney or financial planner, if you have a close relationship. I really do vote for a care manager or somebody who be a life coach.
Highly recommended, right?
Somebody that's used to working with older adults and also knows what resources are available.
Yeah, and can really assess the you know, the environment they're living in and then, you know, work with them where, you know, doctors and attorneys and all that just don't have the time and typically
right.
to do that.
And
so
you really need a coordinator.
Yeah, a coordinator to put all that together. And so maybe the family member or, as I've did it sometimes, where the family just isn't around, pastor or a good friend or somebody could act as that coordinator and talk to the physician, talk to the attorney, talk to the financial planner and all of that, because there's a lot of work and effort that goes into this.
And I think one of the main messages is no one can do this by themselves. Nobody can.
Wow. How about this? We have a question. Mary is on the line and has a question about senior care. Welcome to Faith and Family, Mary.
Thank you very much. I've been listening, and part of my question has been answered, I think. I was thinking about security of the people involved, because I went through this with my mother, and also I'm married to someone who's retired from the Illinois prison system, and he's very aware that sometimes workers in some of the lower-level unskilled jobs have a criminal record or a little sketchy that causes concern. So I'm interested in that. But there are two other things about this. One is I am in Illinois, so I'd like to know, you know, if there are big variations that your guests know about. And the third thing is, in my particular case, I might be forced to move somewhere else where grown children are. And, boy, you could talk 15 minutes about just the pitfalls of that, because moving to be near children at crossing state lines, the planning involved in that, and the fact that then those grown kids can be relocated at a moment's notice. So I'll hang up and listen very carefully to what you may have to say about those topics.
Mary, thanks for those great questions. You know, and I was thinking my daughter and grandchildren and son-in-law live in the state of Washington, and they showed me where they want to put me if it ever comes down to it. And I'm like, I don't think so. But, you know, you bring a really good point up of being brought close to where, you know, your loved ones can care for you. And that's an issue, too. How do you I know you guys have far more experience with that than I do. Althea, how do you respond to that for Mary?
Well, moving where your children live might be a great idea, but you do have to consider all the differences in the state regulations, all the paperwork that goes along with moving across the country, establishing new friends and family.
And the whole support system,
and the
right?
whole support system, and finding a new church, and then what if your kids leave again?
Yeah.
I tend to have the opinion that unless you know they're very, very stable and will never be transferred from that location, I'm not so sure that's a great idea. But on the other hand, if you're flexible and you love change and you don't mind moving, you can certainly be able to live in the same town. We all need our families.
Would it be, as I was thinking, that the geriatric care manager, is that right?
Yes.
Might be able to help in this, that sort some
Absolutely.
Of that out, moving across yeah. state, what other states it's, might have. And Rita, you have something here?
Well, so I was going to say that this is a perfect example of when someone really should check into a continuing care retirement community, because if they really want to stay in the community that they've been in for years, their church is there, their physicians, their friends,
their network, whole power team.
Everyone is there, that if they're in a community, they do have that support team in place with the staff as their needs may change and they may need to move within the system there, that it really gives a lot of sense of comfort to the kids who are a long distance away to know that mom or dad is in a community where they've got a great social network in an area that they're familiar with and they've been with it for years. And I have seen over the years sometimes where someone has moved to be close to kids, and the kids are very involved with their own kids
yeah.
and their own lives, and so they don't end up having as much time with them as they would have liked.
It's not the big blessing that they thought it was going to be. It could even be the detriment, because you're stripping so much away from this loved one, familiarity and all the rest.
Plus, all the obligation goes on to the
yeah.
family members, and yeah. I'm not so sure
right.
they're always agreeable or
yeah.
even if they're able to estimate the amount of time and energy
sure.
that might take.
And
right.
they may not understand, if they're encouraging mom or dad to move close to them, they may not really understand what that is going to mean.
They don't.
Yeah. Now, Mary asked another really good question about security issues, and I know with loved ones, it's a big one for us, right, with all the devices and technology that are out there to supposedly help us. Who'd like to address that? I know that's kind of a broad brush topic of security. But as we age, and especially, you know, widows or widowers, we worry about them sometimes left in certain neighborhoods, changing neighborhoods, facilities, things like that.
Well, when it comes to getting assistance at home, I know that it's very important to work with somebody who does the national background checks and goes a little bit extra. I know here in the state of Missouri, that's not even required.
Wow.
All you have to do is check the family registry and check state and local records, but we found that when we check nationally, sometimes we find things in other states because folks do hop from state to state.
Now, she asked specifically about Illinois, didn't she?
Yes, she did ask specifically about Illinois, and I do know that the state of Illinois requires licensing for private duty agencies. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are some requirements that people who intend to open that type of business, they have to meet some certain criteria. I was just looking to see if I could find exactly what their specifics were, but I do know that, Illinois does require licensure.
And Missouri does not, you're
Missouri
saying,
does
to
not.
This date.
Correct. They've,
Home Care Assistance has a Chicago office, and I know we were working in Illinois, but when we do serve someone in Illinois, they have to go through the Chicago office because of the licensure.
Okay. So, Mary, there's one resource for you, possibly Home Care Assistance in the Illinois, and we'll have a link that you can probably search for that.
And then the other thing that I wanted to add is that not only originally checking out everybody, but if you're going to hire privately, if you're going to bring somebody into your home, you need to set up a system of accountability, whether it's the family member that manages that person or you hire somebody to manage them or you work through an agency. It's really important to have that constant follow-up, accountability, checking up on, making sure that what you started with is what also is going to be maintained.
Very good point. Well, Mary, that were some great questions. So now you're in first place for our giveaway book. That was just a great set of questions. Thank you so much for listening and calling in. Let's go on here and talk about the difficult thing of financing, because that seems to be shifting amazingly, and there's long-term care management that's out there. Let's start with that possibly. I'm a big fan of Dave Ramsey, and my congregation, we did Financial Peace University. My wife and I went through it, and we are debt-free, so we're in good shape, and we love that program. And one of the things he talks about, he said, is especially you approach 60 and the rest of your financial house is in shape, go out and get long-term care. And he recommends people in every area that he trusts to help you out, counseling on that. Your views and thoughts on, let's start with just long-term care management.
Well, I know that research shows that all of us, if you take every health care dollar we've spent from birth until death, and that includes premiums for insurance, co-pays, all the extra
drugs,
costs,
everything. Like that.
If you take 100% of that added up, you will spend more in the last 3 years of your life than all of that combined.
Yeah.
It's the biggest risk we face. We're probably, if we live long enough, we have about a 50 to 70% chance of needing long-term care. We just don't know if it's going to be for 3 months or for 8 years.
So unless you're an actuary or no one that can work it out for you, you're really rolling the dice with the nest egg that you have worked so hard, not only to care for yourself, but like in our case, to give to places that we really want to give some of our hard-earned inheritance. And so to protect all that from this giant end-of-life cost that's coming up, I take it, Althea, you were saying that long-term care management, if you can get into it, is a good thing to look at.
Yeah, and one thing that people might not know, I think most people assume they know what long-term care insurance, the traditional kind of insurance where you pay a premium, and then in exchange for that, you get coverage. And if you stop paying your premiums, you don't have insurance. And if you don't need it, you lose all of those premium dollars. That's traditional, and it's probably the easiest and most reliable way to plan ahead for long-term care. But for some people, they just can't get their mind wrapped around that concept of traditional insurance. So there are some other options now available in the community. There are things, what we call asset-based plans, and they're combinations of life insurance and long-term care or annuities and long-term care so that someone puts their money into those kind of vehicles, but they maintain the value of that investment.
Sure.
So if they don't ever need long-term care, the family gets the refund back.
I see. So there are some options out there.
Great
today.
Options. You need to talk to a financial planner or call me or find out about
it. The financial planner
on
your power team can probably help
you
with all those options. Leanne, looks like you wanted to jump in there.
Well, I think also something to consider is, again, you know, where do you want to spend your time and your dollars? You know, many people, their choice, if they wanted to stay in home, you know, that can certainly happen. But as your need for hours in the day increase for care, the more expensive it becomes. So you have to balance out, are those dollars well spent? And are your needs being completely met in home? Whereas if you were to make the move to a community, is that a better use of your resources and dollars and in long-term planning? You know, because certainly a person can stay in their home, but you miss some benefits. So, for example, the socialization that's available in a community where maybe the person's not getting as much of that in the home, can that level of care be provided? And certainly today we're very fortunate. You can do some very intense medical care in a person's home, really pretty much anything that they would like to be done. However, you know, you have to balance out what the financial picture of that would be. Do you spend those resources getting that round-the-clock care individually, or do you make a move to a community where some of those benefits and features are available right there on campus?
Yeah, no, when we did the planning for some individuals, there seems to be like a crossover point where when you get to that, then you're saying we really, and that's why I think the planning jumps in. If you have it set up, you know exactly where you want to go, they know you, and you're all set to go, where if you don't, then it becomes a little difficult to, you know, be prepared and all of that. So that's a very good point.
I was just going to say, you also want to think about moving to a community, then what happens if you're there a long time and if you were to run out of resources. For instance, at Lutheran Senior Services, we do have a benevolent fund, so to help people who, through no fault of their own, have just run out of resources because they've been in long-term care a long time.
You know, so, my wife and I, we appreciate that so much that you just had a bunch of fun events to promote and support that benevolent. Tie one on, and we did. We bought a tie and a cookbook from a chef, and my wife bought a scarf, and then you have the art auction at Merrimack Bluffs. And what a wonderful thing that that you can do that and people can help those that maybe run out of funds, that they don't run out of quality care, right? That's and I imagine that's some case around and some others too, Althea, that you might be aware of that have some benevolent programs.
Oh, very few.
Very few. So Lutheran Senior Services is pretty special with that?
They are, I think, almost, aren't you unique in offering that?
Wow, so there we go out there. Lutheran Senior Services is a great thing to check out because they really take care of the people because of Jesus Christ, and a lot of the rest of us love that and support LSS, Lutheran Senior Services, with that. So wonderful. We're kind of winding down. We appreciate you. Leanne, anything, 30 seconds you want to close up with, words of wisdom?
I would just really advise people that when they're working with their parents to, you know, start small when you introduce the concept of getting help in the home. Address issues such as, you know, things that could be detrimental, such as a safety issue, you know, finding that personal emergency response system or some modifications to the home to help make somebody safe. I say start small and I think introduce people to the concept of getting help.
Thank you. That was Leanne Coates, Director of Marketing for In-Home Services for Lutheran Senior Services. Thanks so much, Leanne, for being our guest.
Thank you.
Rita, any final words?
I think I would just think about it in terms of the seniors themselves, to really be thinking ahead. Don't wait for your kids to have starting to have the talk with you. Really make plans and be in charge of your own life and your future.
Boy, that was wonderful, Rita, in just a few words, but they were power-packed. So thanks for being on our power team. And she's the director of marketing and sales. Administrator of marketing and sales. I jumped down a line for Lutheran Senior Services. Thanks for being our guest today, Rita.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Althea.
My best advice is to be a plumber, not a mopper. So, you know, let's take care of the plumbing ahead of time when there's no crisis rather than having to mop up at later.
And Mary, you're the winner of the book. So call in, give us your name and address, and we'll send you this book. Thanks for being our guest today on Faith and Family. Tune in tomorrow where we will talk with the trends in aging with a gentleman who's did a lot of work on this, Pastor Walter Shadle. So join us tomorrow here on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.